Genesis 3, verse 1.
Now,
the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Verse 13. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed Verse 15, And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Thousands of years were to pass. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son. Made of a woman. Galatians 4 verse 4. Matthew 4 verse 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came, to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone." Jesus said unto him, "It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto him, "All these things will I give thee. All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down. If thou wilt fall down and worship me." Then saith Jesus unto him, "Get thee hence, Satan! For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Then the devil leaveth him. And behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Now, beloved, Satan knew that this was God's Son, manifested in the flesh. And most certainly, the fulfillment of what God had said to him in the Garden of Eden concerning the woman's seed: "It shall bruise thy head." Literally, "He shall crush thy head." He will destroy you. He will destroy you. And Jesus knew with whom he was dealing. I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Luke 10 verse 18. I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Isaiah 14 verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground? Which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. I will be like the Most High. Now, beloved, this staggering passage has caused much controversy through the ages, for in its immediate context, it speaks of the Medo-Persian king of the Babylonian Empire at that time. In its immediate context, it speaks of the Medo-Persian king of the Babylonian Empire at that time, but all of the great Reformation leaders and many of the most esteemed and revered theologians in the history of the Church of Jesus Christ through the ages believed that in its broader context, that is in the light of the rest of the Scriptures, it speaks of Satan and his fall from heaven as a result of pride and self-exaltation. They reason that other passages in the book of Isaiah, which in their immediate context speak of the great King Cyrus, in their broader context, that in the light of the rest of the Scriptures, they speak of Christ, the Messiah. Such as the pivotal messianic prophecy of the entire Bible, being Isaiah 53. So, they reason that this passage of Isaiah chapter 14 verse 12, though in its immediate context, it speaks of the Medo-Persian king of the Babylonian Empire at that time, in the light of the rest of the Scriptures, in its broader context, it speaks of someone of far greater significance than that isolated king. It speaks beyond doubt of Satan and his fall from heaven as the result of pride and self-exaltation. The same principle is applied to another staggering passage of Scripture found in Ezekiel chapter 28 verse 12. The same principle is applied to another staggering passage of Scripture found in Ezekiel 28 verse 12. Which in its immediate context speaks of Etobal, the king of Tyre at that time. Etobal, in its immediate context, it speaks of Etobal, the king of Tyre. But in its broader context, that is in the light of the rest of the Scriptures, it is beyond doubt speaking again of Satan and his fall from heaven as a result of pride and self-exaltation. We read from verse 12, thus saith the Lord God, you were the seal of perfection. You were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom
and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou art the anointed angel that covereth the throne of God in the Holy of Holies. God says, thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee.
Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God.
And I will destroy thee, O covering cherub. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom. By reason of thy brightness, I will cast thee to the ground. I will cast thee to the ground. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground? And the Bible is strewn with this fearful warning to all of us, beloved. The Bible is strewn with this fearful warning to all of us, beloved, that after pride cometh the fall. 1 Chronicles 21 verse 1. And Satan stood up against Israel. Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. He tempted David to embrace pride and self-exaltation, knowing that this would bring God's judgment upon them as swiftly as it had been upon him. Knowing that this would bring God's judgment upon them as it had been brought upon him. Pride goeth before destruction. Proverbs 16 verse 18. Pride goeth before destruction. In 1 Timothy 3 verse 6. Paul warns the early church not to choose or select a novice, someone young in the faith, when choosing an elder or a deacon, lest being puffed up with pride, he fall into the same condemnation as the devil. Lest being puffed up with pride, he fall into the same condemnation as the devil. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? O Lucifer, I beheld Satan. I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Revelation 12 verse 7. And there was war in heaven. There was war in heaven. Verse 9. And the dragon was cast out. The dragon was cast out. That old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth. He was cast out into the earth. And his angels were cast out with him. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him.
Revelation 12 verse 4. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and it cast them to the earth. The third part of the stars of heaven and it cast them to the earth. Jude verse 6. And the angels which kept not their first estate. The angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation. He hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness. He hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. 2 Peter 2 verse 4. For if God spared not the angels that sinned. For if God spared not the angels that sinned. God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell. Now, beloved, this word, hell, is not Gehenna or Hades. The true predominant Greek words translated throughout the New Testament to the word hell. It is not Sheol, the prominent Hebrew word throughout the Old Testament translated into the English word hell. This word, in this verse, is Tartarus. The only time this Greek word is found used in the entire Bible. Tartarus. Referring to God's initial judgment upon the angels that rebelled with Satan against him, who were cast out of heaven into the earth. This is Tartarus. God's initial judgment on the angels when he cast them out of heaven into the earth's atmosphere. And these fallen angels are now desperate demons. Like fish out of water, having kept not their first estate but left their own habitation, for which they were created to serve God in His light and glory. They are now in what to them is darkness. 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 And suffering. And torment. And torment. They are now desperate, tormented demons. Demons. But this is only their initial judgment. Tartarus, the earth's atmosphere. This is only God's initial judgment on the angels. They fearfully await their final judgment. You see, when a demonically possessed man stood before Christ, the demons, recognizing Christ fearfully, cried out in Matthew 8:29, "What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God?" They recognized him from heaven. "What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time?" The time comes that they fearfully await of their final judgment, which will be the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Matthew 25 verse 41. The everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. But beloved, Paul warns us that these fallen angels, these desperate demons, now oppose us in spiritual warfare here upon the earth. Paul warns us that these fallen angels, these desperate demons, now oppose us in spiritual warfare here upon the earth.
For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Ephesians 6 verse 13. But God, beloved, in His infinite mercy and wisdom, God, beloved, in His infinite mercy and wisdom, has given us much instruction concerning our adversary, the devil, and his angels, lest Satan should get an advantage of us. For we are not ignorant of his devices. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 2 verse 11. We are not ignorant of his devices. God did not leave us helpless and ignorant concerning these demonic forces and Satan, our adversary, whom they serve across this entire earth. He did not leave us helpless, beloved. In the book of Daniel, chapter 10, we are given amazing insight. We are given amazing insight into the fierce battles that now rage between God's angels and the fallen angels. In the book of Daniel, we are given amazing insight into the fierce battles that now rage between God's angels and the fallen angels over the affairs of men. In Daniel chapter 10, we find this godly prophet who gave us the written prophecies of the Bible, so man knows where he's at and knows this is the divine word of God and that God in his sovereignty is in control. No matter how dark the hour may seem, God needed to give that revelation to man through this book. That needed to be compiled, and God sent this man, this angel, to impart to Daniel what Daniel was seeking, to fulfill the purpose of his life for which he lived and was consumed. Daniel in chapter 10 fasts for 21 days. He fasts and prays and seeks God for revelation, earnestly for revelation and understanding concerning the eschatology, the order of vital events in God's plan for this world, that man knows where he's at, what God is busy doing, what is coming right to the end of this world and the destruction of this world. This prophet seeks God earnestly so that he can give the written prophecies which God had ordained him and called him and impressed in his heart, and his whole being is consumed to fulfill the purpose of God for his life, to give the written prophecies to us to be compiled in what would become the word of God for billions to know the way. Oh, but here he's now fasting and praying. In chapter 10 and verse 12, suddenly the angel Gabriel appears to him in all his glory. In all his glory. Verse 12, Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel. For from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard. And I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes came to help me. And I remained there with the kings of Persia. Verse 20. And now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia. When I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Greece shall come. But I will show thee that which is noted. I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth.
and there is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael, your prince." Here we witness the principalities, the powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, the spiritual wickedness in high places, in fierce battle against God's angels to thwart God's purposes and plans for that man and for this earth. In fierce, raging battle to undermine and thwart the purposes and plans and will of God, even for that prophet and his ministry. And Gabriel reveals to this godly Daniel the names of these great fallen angels, these demonic forces. He speaks of them and refers to them by name. The prince of the kingdom of Persia. Now the word prince here is from the Hebrew word dur, which means ruler. Allocated by Satan, these demons, to rule over his affairs and nations. The prince of the kingdom of Persia. The kings of Persia. The prince of Grecia. All these fallen angels, now desperate but powerful and evil demons, allocated by Satan to do his work, to undermine good, to work evil, and to thwart the works and the plans of the will of God on this earth, to wherever he can, through these demonic forces. But Michael, the archangel, hallelujah, comes swiftly to his defense. Michael, the archangel, comes to his defense. And eventually they prevail over these demonic forces. They prevail over the demonic forces of Satan. Jude verse 9. Yet Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses. Yet Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, durst not bring against him a railing accusation. Durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke thee." Here Michael immediately looks to Christ to deal with Satan and cries out, "The Lord rebuke thee." Zechariah 3 verse 1. "And he showed me Joshua the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. And the Lord said unto Satan, The Lord rebuke thee, O Satan." Even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem, rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? Here Christ rebukes Satan in his own name. Here Christ rebukes Satan in his own name. In Luke chapter 10 verse 17 onwards, we are given an amazing statement. We are given an amazing statement of the uncomprehendable power and authority that is in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Luke chapter 10, from verse 17, we are given an amazing statement of the power and authority that is in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we read from verse 17, "And the 70 returned. The 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name, even the devils, the demons, are subject unto us through thy name.
And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power. I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Here Christ cautions them and us that our salvation is imperative, is vital, before anyone dares to stand against the demonic forces of this world with the power and authority of the name of Jesus Christ. Our salvation is imperative, is vital, before any one of us or any human dares to stand against the powers and the darkness of Satan's demonic forces with the name and authority that is in Jesus Christ. He warns us in one of the most fearful passages in the Holy Book, in Matthew 7:22, many! How many? You work it out. Many will say unto me in that day, the day of judgment, many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils? In thy name have cast out devils! And in thy name done many wonderful works, miracles. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. I never knew you! Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. You that never repented from a life of sin. Depart from me! I never knew you. In thy name I've cast out devils. Beloved, this is beyond my comprehension. Forgive me. Much of the book is beyond my comprehension, but I believe it. Because God said it. Christ doesn't play the fool when he warns us that unconverted, unregenerate people across this world will attempt to cast out demons out of people who are possessed by the power and authority that is in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is fearful. They are sensationalists who are drawn like Simon the sorcerer for one reason to Christianity, because of the sensational. They're drawn to try and impress the crowds and draw attention to themselves and their ministry. But they're unregenerate. Now it's beyond human comprehension how this is, but Christ said many will say, and he doesn't say it didn't happen. We cast out devils in thy name. But the tragic result of these carnal, sensationalist, blasphemous ministry. The tragic result of these carnal, sensationalists, blasphemous ministry is revealed to us, in Matthew 12:43. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places. seeking rest, and findeth none. Then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits, more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. You see, beloved, if a man is delivered from demonic possession by the power and in the name of Jesus Christ, it does not mean he is saved. He is definitely not saved from being delivered from demonic possession. He must then be carefully and prayerfully instructed in the ways of salvation, that repentance is vital even then. Vital of his own free will. Or God can't judge him and be righteous. Can he? He must then confess his sins in shame and fear of hell and judgment. And he must then embrace by faith the blood of Jesus Christ. For by grace are ye saved, not when you delivered from demons, but through faith. Being justified freely by grace through faith in his blood. For only the blood of Jesus, by faith, cleanses us from all sin. And then he must seek God further. Otherwise he tramples under flesh the blood of Christ. If the Son doesn't set him free at salvation from enslavement to sin. All he does is say, I'm saved by grace through faith, but I still carry on in my evil sins. No! If the Son shall set you free, sir, you shall be free indeed, or God lies. And what have we to preach if that isn't true? Nothing that anyone will want and believe it's true. And only then will the Holy Spirit, as he received the risen, resurrected power of Christ by faith, to dwell in him and live his life out through him, for Christ in you is the hope of glory. If we have not the Spirit of Christ, we are none of his. Christ in you is the only hope you will ever have of glory in this living, resurrected Christ. And only then, sir, will the Holy Spirit bear witness with his Spirit that he is born of God. Only then will he have peace with God. You see, the effect of righteousness is peace. Righteousness imputed and righteousness imparted, both vital, together, or you lie if you preach anything different. The effect of this righteousness that God gives by faith will be peace as he sees it works, and the book doesn't condemn him, it confirms page by page he is saved. That is the closest I will ever come to saying what the Holy Spirit's witness is, sir. You know you've passed from death into life, but brother, if this book condemns you, you haven't passed from death into life. And that man, sir, will then not have a void that will come, will be such a void that eventually he will return to demons, he will return to evil places, evil companies. He will return to a worse state of evil because now he has no restraint because God's salvation didn't work in his understanding. Though he was delivered from demons, there's no restraint now. You see, he was the tragic fruit of these carnal, sensationalist, blasphemous ministry. Who themselves have no experiential knowledge of salvation. And therefore they have no ability to in truth lead a man to Christ. To true salvation and peace with God. And that is why so many multitudes, and listen carefully, you blasphemous, carnal sensationalists. Somebody needs to tell you just once what's happening. Though everybody seems to be fearful, it seems, in this world, to touch you. Listen carefully. Most tell me I'm wrong, then challenge me. Most across this world who profess to have been delivered from demonic possession through Christian preachers eventually return to Satanism and bring great shame on Christianity and the name of Christ. For one reason, they are the tragic result of carnal, sensationalist, blasphemous ministry who've never been saved themselves, so cannot lead that soul to Christ. But then they're not interested in that, are they? They just want sensationalism to draw attention to their ministry, to those people who have itchy ears, you know. It has to be sensational. They don't want teaching about repentance. They don't even want people to survive like that. It doesn't matter in the long run. They just want sensation and actors. But don't give them someone who quotes the scripture, for God's sake. Your mega churches will be barren in 1 week if someone did that. And, beloved, we must also beware of the danger. The danger of demonically possessed people. Demonically possessed people being embraced and exalted in many, many so-called Christian circles. We must beware today of the danger of demonically possessed people being embraced and exalted in many, many so-called Christian circles because of manifestations and revelations and prophetic utterances. Acts 16, verse 16. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel, possessed with the spirit of divination, met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. That means fortune telling. The same followed Paul and us, and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did see many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee, in the name of Jesus Christ, to come out of her. And he came out. The same hour, beloved, not everyone that opens their mouths with manifestations and revelations and prophetic utterances is of God. Not everyone that opens their mouths with manifestations, revelations, and prophetic utterances is of God. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits. Have you? How can you if you're not even saved, you sensationalist? Matthew 12, verse 22. Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, with a demon. Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb. And he healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, is not this the son of David? Is not this the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow doth not cast out devils. This fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. And Jesus knew their thoughts.
and said unto them,
Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. And every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself, how shall then his kingdom stand? And if I, by Beelzebub, cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he first bind the strong man? And then he will spoil his house. How can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he first bind the strong man? And then he will spoil his house. Here Christ soberly considers Satan's hold on this world. Here Christ soberly considers Satan's hold on this world. We need to go back here to Matthew chapter 4, verse 8. Again, the devil taketh them up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth them all the kingdoms of the world. In a moment of time, Luke adds in chapter 4, verse 5, in a moment of time, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. All these things will I give thee, for that is delivered unto me. And to whomsoever I will, I give it. Luke adds in chapter 4, verse 6. The whole world lieth in wickedness, John says in 1 John 5, verse 19. Literally, the whole world lies in the hands of the wicked one. And 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3 refers to Satan as the god of this world. The god of this world. And the prince of this world. John 14, verse 30. That is the ruler of this world. So, here Christ soberly considered Satan's hold on this world. When he said, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. 1 John 3 verse 8. That through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Hebrews 2 verse 14. That through death, even the death of the cross, Philippians 2 verse 8, he might destroy him. In John 12 verse 31, as Jesus faced imminent death on the cross, he solemnly declared, now is the judgment of this world. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. Now
is the judgment of this world. Beloved, the judgment of this world will not take place at the great white throne spoken of in Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. The judgment of this world will not take place at the great white throne spoken of in Revelation 20, verse 11. The judgment of this world was hurled upon Christ, beloved, as he hung upon the cross. As he hung upon the cross. That he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Literally, should face death for every man. Hebrews 2, verse 9. Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth? 1 Timothy 2 verse 4. Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth? Who gave himself a ransom for all? 2 Corinthians 5 verse 19. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all, beloved. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Isaiah 53, verse 11. That through death he might destroy him. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Revelation 12 verse 11. They overcame him, that is the devil, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Beloved, the great redemptive power that is in the blood of God the Son. The great redemptive power of the blood of Jesus Christ will set you free from the power and the hold of Satan forever. The redemptive power that is in the blood of Jesus Christ will set you free from the power and hold of Satan forever. When Jesus sent Paul to the Gentiles in Acts 26 verse 17. With this good news, with this gospel. He sent him to open their eyes. And to turn them from darkness to light. And from the power of Satan unto God. With the gospel. Romans 1 verse 16. He cries, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that believeth. Hallelujah. But. If our gospel be hid. It is hid to them that are lost. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Corinthians 3 verse 8. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 3. Sorry. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. And this, beloved, is when the judgment of this world will pass beyond the cross. To the great white throne spoken of in Revelation 20 verse 11. This is when the judgment of this world will go beyond the cross of Christ.
to the great white throne spoken of in Revelation 20, verse 11. You see, 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 9, we read, He will return in flaming fire. He will return in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God. Taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. And John 3, verse 8. He that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. He that committeth sin is of the devil. What does that mean? Well, beloved, don't get too hurt or shocked. Just look at the context. It's simple for a child to see, if you just look at the context. And if you're saved, you will immediately see the context and have no problems. He that committeth sin in the immediate context, that continues to pursue sin, after he's heard the gospel of Christ, is of the devil, God says. He that continues to pursue his sin after he's heard the gospel of Christ is of the devil. He that committeth, goes on, sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, continue to pursue his sin. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. We know that he that is begotten of God doth not commit sin. But whosoever is born of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. 1 John 5:18. Job 1, verse 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God, the angels, came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job? Now, the Hebrew, exactly. Hast thou set thy heart upon my servant Job? Is thy heart set on destroying my servant Job? Who is righteous and holy. First Peter 5 verse 8. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour.
Whom? Resist! Steadfast in the faith. Resist the devil and he will flee from you, James 4, verse 7. Or God lies.
Or how would you put it, theologians? Neither give place to the devil. Ephesians 4, verse 27. Beloved, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. 1 John 4, verse 4.
Don't ever doubt it.
The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. I don't care what stronghold there is in your life. The name of Jesus and by the power of God. If you look away from yourself in the name of Christ alone and to his power, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Hallelujah. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Colossians 2 verse 15. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet surely. Romans 16 verse 20. What does that mean? Literally the same as the Hebrew word back in Genesis 3. He will crush Satan. How does Christ crush Satan, destroy him? He's still alive. Through you and me. Through the cross and the blood, we overcome Satan. Ephesians 6 verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God for God's sake. And read it until you know you've done it. Totally. Don't read another verse past if you don't know you've done it. And God's enabled you. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, the attacks of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. That'll cost some of us. Every aspect of life must be transparent if God's going to be with you, sir. Having your loins girt about with truth and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Oh my. You have to search your heart here, don't you, child? And your feet sod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, be so you're saved. So solidly saved that there's not anyone in this earth that could question it. Not even your worst enemy. And don't rest until that. Before you say you're saved, you'll be saved by this book's stepping stones and the evidence, it says, of a person who is saved. Above all, so I hope you do this, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. All Satan can do to attack you. Or God lies. How would you like to word it? Is that sacrilege? No, it's sacrilege to say anything different. of this gospel and these promises. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit,
which is the word of God. Amen. From whom faith comes, and nowhere else does it come from, and by which we defend ourselves. For there's no other weapon we have to defend but this, the word of God. After salvation, there's nothing that is your responsibility any day of your life more than to meditate the word of God.
Amen.
Till you are soaked in it. Wherewithal also the young man cleanses his way by taking heed according to thy word. Thy word have I hid within my heart that I might not sin against thee. Everything comes. Faith comes by the word of God. Sanctify them. I pray not that thou wilt take them out of the world, but thou wilt keep them from the evil. How? Sanctify them. Keep them from the evil by thy truth. Thy word! It's everything. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always. With all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And that is not tongues. Praying in the Spirit is the result of soaking yourself in the word of God, outside of which you've never prayed in the Spirit in your life. To the degree you soak yourself in the word of God is the greatest discipline of your life daily, that nothing will keep you from or hurry you from. To the degree you devour the word of God, you have the mind of Christ, you have faith. You're kept by the power of God through faith. Everything is this book. You defend yourself by faith in what God promises. You find faith to overcome the Satan and his demonic forces by this book. Full stop. And beloved, trust me. Any praying in the Spirit you ever will experience in your life that's truly what God is speaking about is sober, conscious praying with such faith that the devil and the powers of hell tremble and scream in fear. It's the direct result of soaking yourself in the Word of God. You find yourself praying in the Spirit, outside of what you have never, ever experienced, and don't even come within a billion miles of understanding what it means, sir. With all supplication, prayer and supplication for all saints, once you are victorious, you will begin to pray in faith for others. Until then, you won't know what it is to groan on your knees for anybody but yourself in truth, in faith. I have a sermon on the second coming of Christ, which is close to 500 verses of the Bible that I memorized and just linked up, dovetailing, of which tells you of Satan's end. Listen to it on the internet, the websites, of which there is supposed to be over 100 with these messages. If I was to go on now with Revelation, I'd be in trouble with some of you doctrinally. Don't want to do that. I don't mind if you're angry so long as you can't touch me. And you can't touch God's word, sir. I don't know anybody in my life that got angry with me that wasn't angry with God, actually. Because they only got angry with me for quoting God's word. So they were angry with God and offended at God's word. Not me. But I am safe so long as they can't touch me and say you quoted one verse out of its context. Because if they touch me, God will touch them. Watch, just watch how hard he'll touch them. When they stand up against this word, you're in trouble, sir.
So be careful
what you do with this sermon now, sir, might be your undoing forever.
You all know this. It's not in new hymn books. But listen for God's sake for the first time as it should be listened to, I think. A mighty fortress is our God. A bulwark never failing. Our helper, he amidst the flood of mortal ills prevailing. For still our ancient foe doth seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate. On earth is not his equal. If we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. Were not the right man at our side, the man of God's own choosing. Dost ask who that may be? Christ Jesus, it is he. Lord Sabaoth, his name, from age to age the same. And he must win the battle. And though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God hath willed his truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. One little word will fell him. That word above all earthly power, no thanks to them abideth. The Spirit and the gifts are ours through him who with us sideth. Let goods and kindred go, this earthly life also. The body they may kill, God's truth abideth still. His kingdom is forever. Can we stand, please? Brother Don Covell, would you come and commit us to God to triumph? Through faith in him. From this night to the day we die. And let me really shock you now. There is no stronghold on earth that Satan has built up that will not be broken down if the children of God get right with God and get on their knees as an army. America! Your greatest danger is not Islam. It's not the wrong politicians in power. The only danger America honestly faces is if the Christians don't get right with God and get down on their knees into warfare against our enemy.
You won't know what's left of your nation, Christians, if you don't do that fast. If you don't seek God and get right with God. Revival
is not attendances. That's rubbish. Crowds mean nothing. Otherwise, the Jehovah Witnesses are having the greatest revival in history. Revival is when God's people get back to this book. In their purpose, unashamedly, unapologetically, and without touching its authority, just giving it, even if you lose all the sinners in one day. Rather have three rows full of people who want this book than a church full of hypocrites who only want entertainment but not this book. And you've had revival for the first time in your life in your church then, sir. You got people who come to hear this and want this alone. Revival is when the church of Christ across this land, all those washed in the blood, stop compromising and seeking God desperately. And the evidence that they have is this book is first and last in their priority daily, even what they preach.
Until that comes, this nation will crumble. Brother, will you commit us to Christ, please?